From the KPIX 5 newsroom, this is Bay Area Nightbeat on KBCW.
Now on Nightbeat, as the fire danger ramps up across Northern California, PG&E has an urgent message for millions of its customers. Prepare to lose power. Good evening, I'm Brian Hackney.
And I'm Betty Yu. The utility says it could cut power in extreme fire risk areas as soon as tonight. That includes portions of Alameda, Napa, Sonoma, and Lake counties, along with nine other counties along the Central Sierra. Tonight, PG&E is in the process of notifying customers who could be affected. In a statement, the utility said, "The safety of our customers and the communities we serve is PG&E's top priority. We know how much our customers rely on electric service and would only consider temporarily turning off power in the interest of safety and as a last resort." PG&E equipment was blamed for sparking several of the Wine Country wildfires this time last year. And with eerily similar weather conditions building this weekend, Nightbeat's Andrea Borba reports CAL FIRE has some serious warnings as well.
Any source of ignition to any type of fuel bed or receptive brush, a fire will, it's not if, it will spread rapidly with a red flag condition.
Traditionally, October has been the height of Northern California wildfire season. And just last year, Sonoma, Napa, and Mendocino counties were torched by a firestorm ignited in red flag conditions in October. From Sky Drone 5, you can see the tender, dry, sun-bleached grass in the East Bay Hills. Contra Costa County Fire Marshal Robert Marshall says the low autumn humidity combined with high winds and hot days is a grave concern.
The big thing that we're concerned about at this point is the lighter fuels have had all summer to bake. It's been a hot summer and a dry summer and a very windy summer, which just reduces the fuel moisture. But now what we worry about is the larger fuels. Trees don't have a lot of moisture because it's been a long time since they've received rain. Those are the things that really make fires much, much bigger than they would have been otherwise.
CAL FIRE says if there is any lesson to be gleaned from the Tubbs Fire destruction in Santa Rosa, it's to be hyper-vigilant on red flag days.
You need to treat it like it's a hurricane or a tornado coming.
On the Nightbeat, I'm Andrea Borba.
Yeah, things are heating up across Northern California today. A mild day. Tomorrow, it seems like the winds are going to pick up. Temperatures are going to come up as well, and when they do, winds are going to blow, and that wind will lower the humidity into single digits. A classic situation for this kind of this time of year, high pressure that's off the Pacific Northwest, whipping northeasterly winds over the northern part of the state. So it'll be windy at the higher elevations. That's why there is a wind advisory posted. Gusts that could reach 60 miles an hour at the peaks and ridgetops. And that's one of the reasons there are red flag warnings that'll be posted right through Monday morning. Those warnings go into effect at midnight tonight. We'll have a complete weather forecast in just a few minutes. Betty?
Thanks, Brian. Noon tonight, we're hearing from an Uber driver slammed to the ground by a security guard as he tried to walk into the company's San Francisco headquarters. Nightbeat's Katie Nielsen shows us the violent takedown was caught on tape.
This is where Uber driver Tom Hoffman was tackled by a security guard only a few feet from the front doors of Uber's corporate headquarters. The entire incident caught on cell phone video. Take a look at this. You can see Tom Hoffman trying to walk in the front doors at Uber's corporate headquarters when a security guard grabs him from behind and slams him onto the ground.
I was in shock. I was in fight or flight mode.
Tom says he and other drivers went to the offices on Market Street in San Francisco on Friday to deliver a petition asking for better working conditions.
I remember approaching the door, starting into the door, and at that point, the next thing I knew, everyone was on top of me. I mean, it happened so quickly, that's really all I remember about it.
Tom is back home in Fremont, and after a trip to the emergency room yesterday, is now in a sling and taking painkillers until he can get back to the doctor on Monday.
Had some x-rays, and they said nothing was broken, that it looks like pretty severe bruising. There's a lump on my shoulder.
Has anyone from Uber contacted you?
No, I don't expect them to.
But Uber did release a statement to KPIX 5 about the incident, saying, "We are very concerned by the video. The individual in question has been placed on administrative leave effective immediately by our third-party vendor while the matter is being investigated." Hoffman says he's now considering pressing charges against that security guard. On the Nightbeat, I'm Katie Nielsen.
Other news tonight, an oil spill gummed up traffic on Interstate 80 this evening. It shut down two eastbound lanes near Pomona Street in Crockett just before the Carquinez Bridge. Drivers took this video of the crash that caused it as they crawled past. All lanes, though, were cleared and reopened by 6:30.
New tonight, a Marin County school district is considering a name change. Nightbeat's Andrea Nakano explains why the current one is sparking controversy.
The Dixie School District is one that draws families into the area. The district, located in northern San Rafael, has several distinguished schools offering a high level of education for kids in kindergarten through eighth grade. But the name Dixie is sparking controversy.
We have to own our history and in some ways try and correct some of the things that were in our past.
Phyllis McGuire is a former school board member and says this is not the first time the district has contemplated changing its name.
It doesn't represent who we are, and it has connotations that affect people negatively.
Bruce Anderson was one of several parents that brought this issue to the board many years ago. Back in 1989, he was uncomfortable sending his son to first grade in the Dixie School District.
This may be a place where they've made Dixie a nice name, but it doesn't work for people outside of here, and it doesn't work for people that are minorities.
Almost 30 years later, Anderson hasn't given up the fight to change the name Dixie. He's hoping the community is now ready to make that change.
With the newest wave sweeping the country of let's get rid of Southern symbols and Confederate type symbols, I said let's do this. Let's see if the community is awake enough to do this.
But some opposition remains. Many who do not support the name change say Dixie does not have a negative connotation to them. Zip Shockett proudly sent his kids to school in the Dixie School District.
Dixie School District has a reputation of being one of the best school districts in the area. Everybody wants their kids to go there. It's a fantastic place. Our kids had a great experience there. I see no reason to change the name.
A cost study to change the name will be presented to the board next month. Anderson says it's expected to be about $30,000, and the group changethename.net will pick up the cost. In San Rafael, Andrea Nakano for the Nightbeat.
Now to the East Bay, where a heated city council race has also turned ugly. 25-year-old Justin Shaw, the youngest of five candidates running for the city's District 4 seat. This week, somebody used a permanent marker to scrawl a swastika and other hateful messages on two of his campaign banners. No arrests so far and no suspects. Fremont police are treating it as a case of vandalism. Justin calls it a hate crime.
Fremont has this sign that's everywhere saying Fremont stands united against hate. So that's why it's so shocking.
Justin told us today that he won't let the vandalism discourage him. If anything, it's motivated him to campaign harder. California Senator Kamala Harris is stoking speculation about a possible presidential run in 2020. The junior senator has booked her first campaign trip to Iowa, which, of course, is the first in-nation caucus state. She'll be there on October 22nd and 23rd. The trip following stops in South Carolina and Wisconsin, which are also early primary states. Last month, Harris said that she would take a serious look at running for president. In the meantime, the man who holds the job is back on the campaign trail tonight, this time in Richmond, Kentucky. He was there to rally support for Republican Congressman Andy Barr. He's facing a tough re-election battle against Democrat Amy McGrath. President Trump also took a moment to praise Kentucky senators for their handling of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation process.
With your help, Mitch McConnell, Rand Paul, and all of the people that work so well with us will continue to confirm incredible pro-Constitution judges, not radical far-left judges who will rewrite your Constitution and replace your Kentucky values. Not going to happen.
Earlier today at the White House, President Trump welcomed home North Carolina pastor Andrew Brunson. He arrived in the U.S. today after being detained for nearly 2 years in Turkey. The preacher was accused of spying, a charge that both Brunson and the U.S. government deny.
President Trump says he plans to call Saudi Arabia's crown prince this weekend to discuss the disappearance of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. The Washington Post contributor often criticized the Saudi government. He was last seen nearly 2 weeks ago entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul, Turkey. CBS correspondent Holly Williams is there tonight.
Officials in Turkey say they have an audio tape of Jamal Khashoggi being tortured and killed, according to a Turkish newspaper. We cannot independently verify their reporting. The journalist visited the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd. This surveillance video appears to show his arrival. He apparently needed paperwork to marry his Turkish fiancée. And when he didn't reappear, she sounded the alarm. Turkish officials have told journalists they believe Khashoggi was murdered inside the Saudi consulate. Turkish media printed the names and faces of what they claim was a 15-man Saudi assassination team that arrived that day and left Turkey in the evening.
So we prove that he is inside now. That is our proof. They should explain how he went out.
Saudi Arabia calls the allegations baseless. Khashoggi was once a Saudi government insider, but went into self-imposed exile in the US last year over fears for his safety. He became an outspoken critic of the Saudi government and the country's powerful crown prince, Mohammed bin Salman. Disgust over Khashoggi's disappearance has seen some companies cancel their attendance at a conference in Saudi Arabia this month. But President Trump told 60 Minutes he doesn't want the U.S. to cancel military contracts.
Boeing, Lockheed, Raytheon, all these I don't want to hurt jobs. I don't want to lose an order like that. And you know, there are other ways of punishing, to use a word that's a pretty harsh word, but it's true.
On Saturday, Jamal Khashoggi's 60th birthday, Turkey again demanded that its investigators be allowed inside the Saudi consulate to search what they suspect was the scene of his death. Holly Williams, CBS News, Istanbul. And you can see President Trump's entire interview with Leslie Stahl tomorrow on 60 Minutes. That starts at 7 o'clock on KPIX 5.
And as for now, the city of San Jose makes a long-distance call for help ahead of Google's arrival downtown. What city leaders hope to learn from Seattle.
Plus, the million-dollar plan to clean up two of San Francisco's busiest and dirtiest BART stations with a hose.
And a semi-truck jumps a California freeway divide and disintegrates on a set of train tracks. Not only did the driver walk away, so did a kitten.